One of the most impressive things about the book that you and I hold called the Bible is how much prediction, prophecy is in it. One of the things that separates the Bible from all other books that claim to be scripture, 25, 26 some odd books that claim to be words of their God, their religious system, one of the things they all lack is prophecy. They may have some vague or silly prophecy, but not like this book. In fact, what God says to the same prophet Isaiah later on is, hey, compare me and my track record to all of the other nations and gods and goddesses. I alone can talk about the end from the very beginning. I can write history in advance through prophecy.
Apologist Dr. Norman Geisler said, the Bible is the only book in the world that has precise, specific predictions that were made hundreds of years in advance and that were literally fulfilled. Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzig considers the words of the prophet Isaiah, who predicted the virgin birth of Jesus. Before we get into that, here's a letter we recently received from a Connection listener.
Dear Connection, thank you so much for making Skip's teaching available on the Roku and online. I remember hearing Pastor Skip teach at Calvary Chapel Honolulu nearly 20 years ago when I was just a teen. I was so excited to find him while browsing through Roku channels recently. I'm grateful to have such an amazing resource so easily accessible and searchable to help me learn more about and study God's Word. Thank you so much for making his entire library of teachings available for those of us who have missed the last couple of decades of it. Signed, Allison.
Before we begin our study, we have a resource that will help you explore the vast treasures of the Bible. You'll receive Skip Heitzig's Deep and Wide Teaching Collection, which includes 500 messages covering a range of topics from the foundations of the Christian faith to marriage and family. Find this resource at connectiononline.org/offers.
Now, we invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 7, and let's join Skip as he starts the message.
A fresh reading of these six verses in Isaiah chapter 7 reveal to us that it is a prediction that has immediate fulfillment as well as ultimate fulfillment. There's a local thing going on, a local predicament, as well as a global prediction, all covered in these verses. Now let's go back. When the prophet Isaiah spoke the words that we just read, there were dark clouds looming over the social horizon of Judah. Ahaz was the king of Judah at this time. That's the guy we just read. But there was something going on that helps us understand the text. There were two kings up north, one by the name of Pekah. He was the king of Israel, the 10 northern tribes. The other was named Rezin, R-E-Z-I-N. He was the king of Damascus in Syria. Those two kings formed a coalition against the king of Assyria. The great Assyrian empire was pressing down upon the world and about ready to take it over. Those two kings, Pekah and Rezin, formed a coalition to fight against Assyria. They asked King Ahaz down south to join the coalition. He refused. They said, fine, if you won't join our coalition, then we will come and attack you. Well, he reacted. He was desperate. So what he did, King Ahaz, was send a bribe through some envoys, some bribe money, to the king of Assyria, Tiglath-Pileser, and said, look, let me give you some money. Do me a favor. These two guys are threatening to attack me. Here's some money to buy you off. Would you please attack them before they attack me? And then at that point, Isaiah the prophet walks in and says, you've got nothing to worry about. Don't worry about those two kings. It's in total control. God is going to protect you. God is going to take care of you. And that comprises verses 1 through 9 of Isaiah chapter 7. Beginning in chapter 7, verse 10, which we started to read, the prophet continues his conversation and says, hey, Ahaz, ask God for a sign. And he pretends to be very spiritual and very humble. I won't ask God for a sign. I won't test the Lord. He's sounding very humble, but he's not. It's fake. He's saying, I won't test the Lord. What he really means is I won't trust the Lord. He had already put his trust in Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria. I'm not going to trust the Lord. I'm going to trust the king of Assyria to protect me. But he says, I'm not going to test the Lord. I won't ask for a sign. So Isaiah said, fine, God will give you a sign anyway. Virgin's going to conceive, call a son when he's born Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel is a Hebrew word, a Hebrew construction. It means God with us. We know that ultimately that refers to Jesus Christ, the incarnation. But it meant something to King Ahaz, or it was supposed to. And that was God's protection. It had an immediate fulfillment. You see, King Ahaz, in seeing a boy named Emmanuel, some think it was actually Isaiah's son, second son, that would be called that, would be a sign of God's protection. Now, this is how it would work. How many months does it take for a child to develop in the womb before birth? Typically, 9 months from conception to birth. That's the gestation period of a human person. So those 9 months, followed by 2 to 3 years of weaning to solid food, that's the idea of verses 15 and 16, curds and honey he will eat. That's that weaning period. So the point is this, within 2 to 3 years, these two kings that you're so afraid of are no longer going to be a threat. That's the sign by that child. God is going to preserve and protect you. But now watch this. In verse 13, the prophet Isaiah widens the prediction out to include the whole house of David. Not just King Ahaz, but it's to the whole house of David. Then he said, "Hear now, O house of David." So the house of David was to be looking for the sign that is predicted in verse 14. Okay. Fast forward 700 years to the New Testament. Jesus is born. A guy named Matthew is writing down his gospel. And Matthew pulls out this reference in Isaiah 7 and says to the house of David, this boy is that sign that Isaiah predicted. The virgin will conceive and bear a son. It's a prophecy. It's predictive. And by the way, one of the most impressive things about the book that you and I hold called the Bible is how much prediction, prophecy is in it. One of the things that separates the Bible from all other books that claim to be scripture, 25, 26 some odd books that claim to be words of their God, their religious system, one of the things they all lack is prophecy. Prophecy. They may have some vague or silly prophecy, but not like this book. In fact, what God says to the same prophet Isaiah later on is, hey, compare me and my track record to all of the other nations and gods and goddesses. I alone can talk about the end from the very beginning. I can write history in advance through prophecy. I can tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Very incredible. Jesus fulfilled 330, they say, over 300 predictions made about him at his first coming. That's astronomical, the odds of that happening. A few years back, the National Enquirer, and I know that's an odd thing for a guy preaching a sermon to pull out as a source material, but the National Enquirer wrote a little article about prophecy, and the article was called Modern Day Prophets. They asked modern day prognosticators to predict 6 months of the future. Tell us what's going to happen within 6 months in pop culture, in music, et cetera, sports. 61 predictions were made by modern day prophets, prognosticators. Take a guess at what percentage were right. You think maybe half? I mean, you could make a prediction vague enough that it would be fulfilled. You think maybe 50% right? Maybe 20%, 10%? Zero. Not a single prediction of the 61 predictions made happened. Modern day prophets. This ancient prophet got it right and spoke so 700 years before. Okay, that's the setting. Look at verse 14 more carefully. Consider the sign. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Alf is the Hebrew word. It means a signal, a mark, a token. Could be translated a miracle, a sign. And what is the sign? Behold, the virgin shall conceive. Stop right there. That's a sign. When is the last time you heard of a virgin conceiving? You know, when a young woman steps into a gynecologist's office or a hospital and gets an ultrasound, the doctor says, you're pregnant. Oh, thank you. We've been trying, she might say. But if the woman steps in and says, you know, I've never been with any human being physically, sexually ever. And the doctor says, well, the ultrasound says you're pregnant. That's a sign. A few years back, Larry King was being interviewed. He was not interviewing. He was interviewed by someone. The interviewer said, Larry, if you had the chance to reach back in history and interview anybody, who would it be? He said, Jesus Christ. Interviewer said, really, what would you ask Jesus Christ? And Larry said, in his hefty voice, he said, I'd ask Jesus Christ if he was born of a virgin. Because the answer to that question, said Larry King, would define history for me. It's an interesting statement. Understand, though, Larry King is Jewish. And the virgin birth was to be assigned to the Jewish nation, the house of David. They were to look for that, the virgin birth. However, the virgin birth is attacked by liberal scholars. Now, when I use the term liberal scholars, I'm not using it in political terms. I'm talking about those who deny the inerrancy of Scripture, the deity of Christ, the bodily resurrection of Christ, the virgin birth, all the key doctrines liberal Christian scholars deny. And this is often what they will say. They'll say, well, you know, and a lot of times they love to talk in sort of, I'm smarter than you tones, and those, you know, the word in Hebrew for virgin is actually the word alma, which is true. And they say, alma means a young woman of marriageable age. It doesn't necessarily mean a virgin. It can just simply mean a young woman. So when I hear that, you know what I do? I smile really big. Or I laugh. And I say, really? Well, then what's the big deal? How is that some big sign? Okay, listen to it put in their translation. Ready? Behold, a sign will happen. A young woman of marriageable age will get pregnant. You go, woo, big deal. That happens every day. How is that a sign? Exactly. It's not a sign. It's commonplace. But for a virgin to conceive, that'd be a sign, a token, a red flag, a miracle. And in fact, that word alma in Hebrew is often translated as specifically a virgin, not a young woman. I think that's the intention here. Here's a couple of instances of that. Genesis 24, 43, Abraham's servant was searching for a virgin bride, Alma, for Isaac, Abraham's son. Proverbs 30, verse 19, the writer Solomon was amazed at the awkwardness of a young man with his Alma, virgin bride. Song of Solomon, chapters 1 and 6, Solomon writes about his own fiancée, Shunammite bride, and Alma, a virgin who would be married to Solomon soon. But all that aside, why argue about Isaiah's choice of words when all you have to do is read God's own commentary on Isaiah chapter 7? Ready? Let's look at that. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1, first page of your New Testament. Matthew chapter 1. Let's see what Matthew, the writer, the Christmas story, what it yields. Matthew chapter 1. As you turn to that first page in your New Testament, take it down to verse 18. Now, He says, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, notice that, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, here it is, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took him to his wife, and did not know her or have sexual relations with her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So Matthew says, in commenting on Isaiah chapter 1, after bringing this text from the past 700 years earlier to the present, he puts the note that Mary had no sexual relations at all until after Jesus was born into this world. And he says what Isaiah said, virgin will conceive. Now, the word that Matthew uses is different than Isaiah. There's good reason for that. Isaiah wrote in what language? Hebrew. Matthew wrote in Greek, so he's not going to use a Hebrew word. He's going to use a Greek word. And the Greek word that Matthew uses is the word Parthenos. You've heard of the Parthenon in Athens, Greece. It means the place of the virgin. It can only mean Parthenos, a virgin girl. That's what it means, a virgin girl, a Parthenos. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Let's take a look at chapter 1 of Luke. Good, you caught that. That's good. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, Christmas story again. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, Parthenos, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Or, that's an old way of saying, I've never been physically with any man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is born to you will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. All right. Matthew notes she's a virgin. Luke, who was a doctor and would know these things, calls her a virgin. Mary says herself she's a virgin. Joseph acknowledged she's a virgin. And the angel agreed, said back to Mary, who thought it was impossible, I acknowledge basically that you're a virgin. So all of this is a sign. This is a sign. Now, in Isaiah, it is predicted that the sign would be a virgin turning up pregnant, conceiving. And then he said, she will bear a son. A son. There is a reproductive process known as parthenogenesis. And I just want to throw this in because it's funny how this gets brought up when you discuss this with secularists. Now, parthenogenesis is the ability to reproduce in organisms without fertilization. And there are certain species of lower animals and insects where this is common. And believe it or not, some will point to that physical natural phenomena called parthenogenesis when they talk about the virgin birth. And this is what they'll say. Well, you know, the virgin birth isn't really all that unique. There are several species where there is this natural reproduction called parthenogenesis, which means, by the way, virgin birth. It's idiotic, really, when you're going to compare low-life invertebrates to human beings. And a lot of tests were done, and in the 1940s, a scientist by the name of Gregory Pincus did a lot of this research and proved that if Mary had conceived parthenogenically, she would have had a daughter and not a son, that it's scientifically impossible. Here's the whole point. Here's the real truth. God himself humbled himself to become a single cell in the womb of a young woman who was a virgin. God allowed himself to be covered with embryonic fluid for 9 months and be birthed. That is the sign. It is not natural conception. It's not parthenogenesis. This is pneumogenesis, if it's anything, spirit conceived, spirit born. Now, why is this so important? Why is the virgin birth such a key doctrine? And why am I taking a whole Sunday to cover this? Here's why. If Jesus Christ was born like every other human being, if Jesus Christ is not God in sinless human flesh, then we have no Savior. We have no Savior. Because that would mean Jesus is either the illegitimate son of Mary, born out of wedlock, or the natural result of normal sexual activity between Joseph and Mary. Either way, if those are true, Jesus isn't God. If Jesus isn't God, then his claims are lies, because he said he was. If his claims are lies, then his salvation is a hoax. And if his salvation is a hoax, we're all lost, doomed forever. That's why this virgin birth is so important. John Walvoord, past president of Dallas Seminary, said the whole construct of theology rests upon that thread of the virgin birth. See, the essence of Christianity is that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. If Jesus had a human father, then just throw your Bible away, because the Bible says he didn't. He was born of a virgin.
The essence of Christianity is that Jesus is God in human flesh. Emmanuel, God is with us, and he walks with us through the best and darkest times of our lives. Well, we have an exciting resource that's all about how you can soak up the truths of the Bible.
What's on your spiritual menu for the summer of 2016? Here's a terrific idea for a Bible binge with teachings from Skip Heitzig. Deep and Wide is a compilation of 500 teachings from Skip Heitzig. These messages make up 31 series that Skip has taught over the years, including God's Top 10, Drawing Near, How to Study the Bible and Enjoy It, Romantic Grace, Who is This Jesus, Running with Champions, and many more. For a donation of any amount, you'll receive Deep and Wide. This one-of-a-kind collection comes on a set of 8 CDs that can be played on an MP3 device or downloaded to your computer, and it's yours. You can watch endless reruns of The Gilmore Girls, or you can order today and dive into a summer deep and wide Bible binge. Visit connectiononline.org/offers or call 1-800-922-1888. 1-800-922-1888.
In response to Jesus' commandment to go into all the world and preach the gospel, we've made the Connection radio broadcast available around the U.S. and all around the world, from Ecuador to England. We want to share God's truth in more places, and you can help us. Make a one-time donation right now. Call 800-922-1888 or visit us online at connectiononline.org/give. Thank you for your generosity.
Next time on The Connection, Skip points out several people in Jesus' day who missed Christmas, including one paranoid and self-absorbed politician.
It really was all about Herod. As the rest of the story shows, how he kills the babies of Bethlehem. He wanted to get this competitor out of the way, but he couches it to, "I worship God." There's a lot of Herods in pews today.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his wood. Make a connection. A connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.